Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. One, two, one, two, three, four.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, Marital Term Misguided Medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I am so happy to be home with you, Sydney. I was out of town, and one of the things that I love about going on tour is that when I come back, if it's one that you're not on with me, I am always interested to see What new fascinations you've developed while I've been gone, and you've been left to pursue whatever your free time, however you dang well please.
Well, it was different this time. Last time you left me, I think you set me up sort of for my latest obsession.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you gave me a whole stack of fantasy erotica.
I mean, it's just
what I lovingly call my fairy sex books.
Right.
And I read them all.
Right. But then this time on tour, I start getting texts about this new new guy.
Well, doc, it's what I like to call a new Pacey show.
Okay.
See, it's kind of like, you know how all video games I play are just different Tetrises?
Sure, of course, as you've made clear in the past to me. Yes.
Right. Like, there are just a variety of kinds of Tetrises that you've given me on different handheld and TV-based devices over the years.
Yes.
Well, there are different Pacey shows. Okay. They're all just, it's Pacey.
Yeah, it's just Pacey and different adventures.
Right. Fringe is a great Pacey show if you haven't checked that out. The latest Pacey show is called Dr. Odyssey.
Mm.
Pacey is not named Pacey on this show.
Not on this one.
No, his name is Dr. Max Bankman, and he's a doctor on a cruise ship. This is a pretty easy conceit, and I thought, well, I'll check it out because I love Joshua Jackson. And I will happily watch any new medical show, at least one episode, because either they get it right, and I think that's cool,
mm-hmm.
or they get it wrong, and I think it's hilarious. And then sometimes they get it wrong, and it makes me angry, but I also mm-hmm. like getting angry. So that's
it's hitting all the buttons for Sid.
Right? So that's usually at least one episode. And some of them I can stick with because I'm like, oh, this is so wild. I got to stick with it. And then others, like the one about how it was just the resident. Was that called The Resident? Only the resident was the good guy and all the other doctors were evil medical industrial complex doctor, villains. So some of them I can't stick with. But this one, from the beginning, I was hooked.
Okay.
Because Dr. Odyssey is, I guess, a medical drama.
That's the genre.
Would you say?
I would say it's a wet medical drama.
Wet?
Yes, it's at sea.
Oh.
it's a wet medical drama.
You can't give me any more fairy books, I don't think. Wet medical drama.
Some are very dry and crunchy. I feel like ER is a much drier medical drama than this is.
Yeah, it rains sometimes, I guess. But generally speaking, it's dry in the ER.
Yeah. And Chicago Hope, I mean, forget about it. It's one of the crustiest shows on TV. I don't even tell you that.
No, this is wet in the sense that they are on a cruise ship, so they are at sea.
Yeah.
Don Johnson is the captain mm-hmm. of this cruise ship. And the idea...
Captain, and what was that great name of that great captain character that you love so much, Sid? What is his name?
I just call him Don Johnson.
Yeah,
I don't know what his name is.
Captain Robert Massey is his real name.
I would not have... The lead characters, Max, Avery, and Tristan, are so, like, those are powerful, like, romance novel, drama, like, those are the names of people who are hot. yeah. and cool and get stuff done, yeah. right? Like yeah. those are the names they have chosen right. for this. So you're introduced to this idea that there was a doctor on the cruise ship and they had to let him go because he messed something up.
Yes.
He didn't catch an outbreak of a GI bug, basically.
Yeah, he didn't catch it and then they busted him off. You never really get anything. There's a lot of shows, things that they'd waste time on other TV shows that they don't waste time on with Dr. Obviously, like, you don't really find out how anybody felt about the last doctor or who he was or why. I mean, you kind of know why he got fired, but it's like not really important because he's not here anymore.
Well, I think they reference him being old, and that's a problem.
Do you know what I'm hoping for?
On
I'm hoping season two, he like comes back for some reason. You know what I mean? He's like, then they're like butting heads. Like there's a new.
Well, you've left the door open for like some sort of guest,
some sort
of cameo.
Well, no, the
creators of Dr. Odyssey, which includes, by the way, Ryan Murphy is one of the creators, which yes. I think informs this show.
It does.
If you are familiar with Ryan Murphy's other work,
yes,
it has that vibe.
His other work in Strike Breaking, all the different great Ryan Murphy projects.
And of course, in addition, we should mention Philippa Sue is yes. on this show. The wonderful yes. Philippa Sue, who we knew from Hamilton originally, yep. As Avery Morgan, nurse practitioner, not a nurse.
Always very clear about that.
Yes.
There's a great bit in the first season, the first episode, where her character, a nurse practitioner, tells Joshua Jackson's character, a doctor, that she's an NP, at which point his character, a doctor, tells her character, a nurse practitioner, that NP stands for nurse practitioner.
Well, he says it in such a knowing way.
A nurse practitioner, you say?
Of course.
Of course. I know some of the terminology going in.
I think someone is supposed to be impressed. I don't know if it's her or us.
Everyone in the circle is in the medical field, so it's not clear who he's trying to wow.
Well, maybe us at home. We're supposed to be like, well, he really knows his stuff.
He knew that off the top of his head. He already knew about nurse practitioners going in.
It also has like a real, I never watched The Love Boat, but I feel like there's a Love Boat vibe.
Well, honey, it's a boat and there's a lot of love. So I think that that's accurate. I think that that's pretty on the money.
It's a little soapy sometimes in the way it's
a
presented.
Little soapy. Yeah, I guess it is a little bit soapy. There is a point where Joshua Jackson does a kickstand on a wall mid-surgery.
Okay, you're spoiling. You're getting too far ahead.
Okay,
you're getting too far ahead. Okay, so what I wanted to talk
about. Imagine my surprise at finding out there's a structure to this episode, because you just told me we're talking about Dr. Odyssey. So.
Well, I wanted to get into the medical. Well, this is a medical show. And so we usually try to review
how quickly we forget
the medicine. And then you can comment on the show itself as much as you'd like. That's your entertainment is your area of expertise. So you can talk about that.
Thank you, Sid. Subtitle of this show on the poster, Sydney, what would you guess the subtitle on the poster of this show
something
is?
About a fantasy?
It is Big Deck Energy.
No.
That's what the poster says.
No. No, it's
That's
not.
What the poster says.
Okay. 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 And let me preface with, too, everyone on this show, they know what show they're on.
Everyone on this show knows what show they are on. It is a fun TV show to watch.
Yes.
No one is too worked up
about Dr.
Don Johnson's certainly not too worked up. No one's too worked up about Dr. Odyssey.
He's just inhabiting his character.
He's just there.
His character's chill. So from the jump, we find out that our doctor character, Dr. Max Bankman.
Yep.
Max Bankman. Max, it has a lot of accolades. Like, they comment on how he seems like overqualified. And I don't know. I will say your usual qualifications to be a cruise ship doctor, I feel like you'd have to be
a doctor.
Well, yeah, but also like pretty resourceful and adaptable. I would imagine that ER docs may be really helpful in that situation. I feel like as a family doctor, as long as I had some like, which I do because of the work I do, some more like trauma response, like some trauma care abilities, like those would be good. I don't normally think you do a lot of surgeries on cruise ships which
you probably try to avoid it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's pretty unlikely. Now, that's not true on Dr. Odyssey.
No. They'll do anything on Dr. Odyssey.
I don't know that you necessarily would need a surgeon. They reference that he is, he was an internal medicine attending. The way he says it, by the way, is she was like, oh, you were a doctor at Yale. And he was like, well, I was actually general internal medicine attending, but who's counting? Which just means like
you, Pacey,
you finish your residency and you're in it. Like I was in it. I'm an attending. Like I'm not.
I'm a family medicine attending, but who's counting?
Not me.
I was also section chief, but who's counting?
Anyway, that's not. I mean, like that. Just you're a doctor. That's cool. It's great. Good job. But he also did the Peace Corps. He's done a bunch of work overseas. You get the impression that he has a lot of like unique medical experiences in resource limited settings that would make him good at this sort of. You have to adapt quickly.
They say he's overqualified, like you're saying, but like I kind of feel like if you're going to have one doctor on the ship, I think you should get a good one. I think you should get a really good one because I feel like it's just the only one in the ocean around you. It should be a good doctor.
How much does a cruise ship doctor make? That's the question,
30,
honey.
We live in 5 G's.
We're at the We're stuck with capitalism.
They don't pay cruise ship people. So, you know that. They just, their reward is the sea. Cruise ship people live for the life. The reward is the salt spray.
There is no way. When I just like the first two results that pop up, like the AI wants me to think it's between $7,000 and $15,000 a month. This other result says they make $19.95 an hour. And that... Typically, doctors.
$20 an hour? Yeah. Good rate. I mean,
well, typically, doctors are not paid hourly.
They're averaging out. But I mean, I guess you could.
Anyway, so he right away is like, we're going to do things differently. I have my own equipment. Mm-hmm. I've brought lots of equipment for our infirmary, which is like an operating room and clinic. They have one room where they keep their supplies, and it's just like all these beautiful shelves, open shelves, full of like brown glass jars. Like an apothecary, except it's full of modern medical supplies, I guess, that are unlabeled.
It's a really wild, and I understand my heart goes out to them. They're setting a lot of scenes in a cruise ship. What would you call it?
Infirmary,
a cruise ship infirmary, which has got to be one of the most sterile, boring environments on the, like a real one has got to be the most drab. Nightmarish place.
This place is gorgeous, like it's beautifully amazing. Curtained and glass and frosted and
gold.
It looks
gold like a museum about old medical stuff. It kind of,
right. Like it looks like something like in the days of like steel barons and coal barons, like all the robber barons, all the barons, like that they would have had some sort of ship with this in it, right?
It's beautiful.
And it like looks nice, but totally impractical.
Yeah. But so, no one's complaining. Because we're watching the TV show. We like it to look nice. Thank you.
So he brings a dialysis machine because he's like, the dialysis machine is the Swiss Army knife of medicine, which is it's interesting because as he says, we can use dialysis for things other than kidney failure. So like there's a truth there. I would not say, as someone who practices resource limited medicine, that I have often thought if I only had a dialysis machine, I could save this life. I would not say that that is a common, I mean, certainly, and I looked this up, by the way, do they do dialysis on cruise ships? There are cruises. You have to look into which one, because not all, that is not a default, like not all cruise ships offer dialysis. But there are cruises that offer dialysis. So if you are someone who needs regular kidney dialysis in order to survive, you can go on cruises that have dialysis machines and dialysis nurses and like the whole, and I'm sure a physician who can monitor it. To do dialysis on board. So that is something that happens, but it wouldn't be a standard pleasure cruise.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yes.
But from a narrative perspective, if you're about to do a season of TV, you got to have a bunch of different options that you can build like storylines and treatment lines around, right? So if you're going to have a piece of equipment that wouldn't be bog standard, I think you owe it to the viewer to narratively explain why some of the equipment that they're going to be using in this season that you wouldn't necessarily normally see on a cruise ship, I think that they're trying to say like, so you know he's brought some different stuff on here. So if we have some different stuff that you wouldn't necessarily expect, we already talked about that.
So, okay. But you are supposing that the average viewer who's not in the medical field, and even like myself, like I'm in the medical field, but I don't know the exact stuff they do on cruise ships, right? Like, I've never worked as a doctor on a cruise ship. I know that's a unique environment. It's a little different.
Right.
but you're assuming that the average viewer would see a dialysis machine and be like, they wouldn't do that. I know that's a dialysis machine and I know that would never happen.
Such is the attention to detail of a Dr. Odyssey.
Did you think it was odd that they did a heart cath on a cruise ship? Because I did.
Are you getting ahead now?
I'm just saying they do lots of stuff on this cruise ship that if you're watching as a medical person, they do a transesophageal echocardiogram.
Okay, again, that's just for you what you're saying.
No one knows if that's cool
or not on a cruise ship.
Okay, they do a procedure. Uh-huh. So, okay, an echocardiogram is where we do an ultrasound of your heart.
Yes.
You may have had one before. You may have seen one. It looks like an ultra, like the one that we...
My wrist, my watch does them? Is that what the one my watch does?
No, that's not... You're talking about an electrocardiogram, an EKG. An echo, you know what an ultrasound is. We take a little probe, we put jelly on some part of your body, and we rub it around, and they bounce the waves off, and we look at pictures, right?
Yep.
Okay. We can do an ultrasound of your heart where we do the same thing on your chest, right?
Okay.
We just put the probe, jelly, over your chest, we look at your heart. Well, that picture's pretty good. If we need a better picture of your heart, we can actually do that by looking at it from the back. And the way we look at your heart from the back is not through your back. We do it through your throat.
Cool.
So we take the ultrasound probe, we put it down your esophagus, down your throat, and then we use it to look at the back of your heart through your esophagus. That is a better picture. We abbreviate that as a TEE, or transesophageal echocardiogram, because we looked trans through the esophageal at your heart. They do that on the ship. I am going to say that is not something you do on cruise ships typically.
Yeah, honey.
And they didn't call attention to that. They weren't like...
None of it is, babe. That's why they do a TV show about it. If it was stuff they did on cruise ships normally, it wouldn't be a TV show. It would be just a cruise ship. No one would even bring a camera to that. They have to do wrong things
for it
to be a TV show.
I did have this thought as he was walking on board and Don Johnson was telling him, like, this is heaven and you're the guardian angel and you have to keep everybody alive and preserve the fantasy and all this. I'm thinking, what could they possibly do on this cruise ship to raise the stakes? Because, like, generally speaking, I would assume that most of the stuff you encounter on cruise ships are, like, GI illnesses for sure, right? Usual walk-in clinic stuff, cold flu type stuff, a bunch of people in close proximity, you're going to pass germs around. So those sorts of contagions, maybe some food poisoning here and there, hopefully not, some sunburns, and then I'm sure you're going to have some broken bones or traumatic injuries, sprains, strains, you know, people falling over, whatever. That feels to me like what you would expect in a cruise ship infirmary. But that is not what they encounter on Dr. Odyssey.
Yes.
It is much more intense.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about those injuries and the realism of them. But first, we got to go to the billing department.
Let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth. You know, it's tempting to say, I'm going to start on the big new thing. You know, when the new year comes, I'm going to get it all figured out. Here's what I want to tell you. There's never been a better time to start your dream than right this second, and there's never been a better way to start than with Squarespace. We've been telling you about Squarespace for years, and that's because it's simply the best way to make a website. I mean, there's no other way to put it than that, folks. People have been using Squarespace to make incredible professional-looking websites, and they look professional because the templates they're using, they are made by real web designers. So they're making, like, building blocks that are going to look great. You just bring your stuff, your images, your things you want to sell, any of that, and Squarespace is going to help you make a great platform for it. Head to squarespace.com/sawbones for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use offer code sawbones to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. We were going through our Christmas gift list over here at the McElroy household, and there were at least two folks this year that are getting Aura frames. Now, I can't tell you who because I don't want to spoil the surprise, but it is really hard to find gifts for people that you really care about and make it feel like personal, you know? But Aura is a really great way of doing that. It's a great digital photo frame. It is named the number one, actually, by Wirecutter, the strategist, Wired. We could go on. It's a really lovely gift to give to somebody, maybe even if they're not like super tech savvy. You can set this photo frame up ahead of time. And then once it's there in their home, if you are out and about and you capture a memory you want to share, you can use the Aura app to just send it like directly to that frame. So like you're making the memories and you're sharing the memories like within minutes. Can you imagine? That's a lovely gift for somebody that you care about. They're going to be able to keep up with your life. And hey, if you've gotten them one before, maybe in another room. Maybe they could have a themed room. You know, in this room, I only want pictures of Justin. What a room that would be. For a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames, named number one by Wirecutter, by using promo code Sawbones at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code Sawbones. This deal is exclusive to listeners, and frames sell out fast, so order yours now to get in time for the holidays. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
This season on The Adventure Zone, Abnibals. Get ready for a brand new crime-fighting trio here to protect the anthropomorphic muscular animal citizens of River City. Featuring Justin McElroy as Axolile, the firefighting axolotl. Clint McElroy as Roger Moore, the debonair cow of mystery. Griffin McElroy as Navy SEAL, the raw seal that has never served in the armed forces. And Travis McElroy as every other swole critter in River City. This swear-free Saturday morning cartoon-inspired story airs every Thursday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Emily Fleming.
And I'm Jordan Morris.
We're real comedy writers.
And real friends.
And real cheapskates.
We say, why subscribe to expensive streaming services when you can stream tons of insane movies online for free?
Yeah, as long as you're fine with 25 randomly inserted, super loud car insurance commercials.
On our podcast, Free With Ads, we review streaming movies from the darkest corner of the internet's bargain bin.
From the good to the weird to the holy, look at Van Damme's big old butt.
Free With Ads, a free podcast about free movies that's worth the price of admission.
Every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org or your favorite pod spot.
So it is great that they have this incredulously, is that a word I can use here? Stocked infirmary. Because they encounter things on this cruise ship that I would imagine are pretty rare. Not that they never happen, but are pretty rare. We start off really strong with Rachel Dratch as a guest star.
Oh, amazing.
Her husband, in his enthusiasm for the opening, for the launch buffet and margarita party, has eaten so much shrimp that he has gotten iodine poisoning. Mm. So shrimp do contain iodine. And I had to look this up. Can you eat enough shrimp to get iodine poisoning? I believe you would have, from what I could find, you would have to eat over like 15 pounds of shrimp to get any sort of toxicity from the iodine.
You wouldn't die,
but like, could you develop symptoms?
And then, yes, you're a listener. I had to go look up how much Joey Chestnut has eaten, and it's 18 pounds. So like, Joey, go see a doctor, I guess. I mean, do that every day. Actually, Joey Chestnut, you should probably go see a doctor today if you weren't planning to already. But
I liked, as I was reading about it, there were people sort of like theorizing, other physicians, because there are articles out there where people are like, is this real? Dr. Odyssey, is this real? And this is what it's in reference to. That's why people are asking these questions. If you want to start Googling these things, you're going to see that Google's going to finish your sentence really quickly, because I am not the only one like, do they do dialysis on cruise ships? So you could eat enough iodine in the form of shrimp to possibly have some symptoms of toxicity. It wouldn't kill you. I can't imagine you'd get sick as fast as this poor gentleman did. And the thing they call it, they say like, oh, we see this a lot on cruise ships. No. And we call it seal disease.
Yeah.
Because baby seals can get it too.
Yeah.
So I looked this up. I could not, and maybe there's a veterinarian out there who takes care of seals who could tell me otherwise.
Now, honey, I gotta say, there is no way that they call it seal disease in the world of seal medicine.
Well,
how unhelpful, honey, would that be? They're all seal diseases.
I couldn't find a reference to them calling it seal disease in the world of human medicine. I think maybe it's possible Dr. Odyssey made this up, which is wild to me. We call it seal disease. We here at Dr. Odyssey call it seal disease. That's a wild, I mean, like, it's, you don't see that a lot on medical shows. Usually when they start referencing the more like kind of rare and esoteric points of medicine, like the kind of academic little details, they're true.
Right.
They're weird. They're rare. They're not something we talk about every day. Sometimes they'll like use like an eponym for something and like, well, I mean, I guess, yes, that is the name, but like nobody uses that. But it is true. It is rare to see one just made up from whole cloth.
Yeah. But speaking of things you rarely see on medical shows, how about when that same dude from the shrimp poisoning event, poor Tom McGowan, who it's great to see back on TV, who's so good in Heavyweights and Sleepless in Seattle and lots of stuff. Love that guy. This poor dude is the patient again.
Yes.
I've never seen that happen.
Because he goes down the water slide and his wife, Rachel Dratch, goes down the water slide right after him and crashes into him.
She dratches into him, you mean?
Dislocating dratches into him. Which, by the way, I love Rachel Dratch anyway.
So good.
She is giving a performance that I don't even know what to, I don't know what she's.
She understands exactly the TV show she's on. She maybe gets it first in the world.
Yes.
And Cordova Street as Syphilis Sam are the first two people to really get it.
Which, it really, like, I do think there is something heightened about the reality of, in its surreality.
It's a Ryan Murphy show.
There's aspects of it that feel like, well, humans don't say things like they don't talk like that's a caricature of a human in the moment, but then they're a human again in the next moment.
Right. It just is kind of whatever they need to.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, she crashes into him and dislocates his clavicle, his collarbone from his sternum.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, in dislocating that joint, his clavicle then pokes towards the middle. So if you think about your clavicles on the sides, you can kind of like hold your fingers up. I'm holding them up against them right now. The point where the tip of your fingers are in the middle, that little bumpy part.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that that comes unhooked and then it is shoved by the stuff that it's connected to, you know, on the shoulder end. It's shoved towards the middle. Mm. Does that make sense to you? How it would be shoved towards the middle?
Yeah.
Okay. This can happen. This obviously, pretty much anything can become dislocated if you try hard enough. And
you said that the obviously at the beginning there was a wild addition, I should say. Not obviously at all to anybody other than you and your pals.
This is a very uncommon injury. It does happen. It's really uncommon. I was looking up like some case reports of it, and can it then puncture something? Because in this case, it actually punctures his trachea.
This is a man who poisoned himself with shrimp not 3 hours prior.
And he now has a hole in his trachea, which is a medical emergency, by the way. And like generally speaking, this kind of dislocation
is
an emergency because it can poke into things. It generally doesn't, but it can. And then in this case, so he has a hole in his trachea that they very quickly create another hole in his trachea so he can breathe, which you've seen done. George Clooney did it on ER all the time. We saw it, you know, done out in the field with a pen, and you know what a trach is. Like, we've seen that in medical dramas before. So they give him a trach so he can breathe, but then they're like, we've got to move this clavicle back into place because it's in his trachea where there is a hole. Like, it is in his trachea. So they have to do this, like, I mean, they basically, like, pop his shoulder back into place. And like takes all three of them.
Ghoulish.
They do it.
Yep.
So they pop his clavicle back into where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say there's still a hole there we have established in his trachea.
Sew it up.
Well, they don't do that.
Well, they do.
Nothing. But you do see him walking off the boat just fine. He's just in a sling at the end of the episode, talking normally about what a wonderful time he'd had.
Hey, listen. You aren't even through the first episode, Sid. If you have any hope of getting into some of these other medical maladies.
In that first episode, just to round it out, also a guy falls off the ship.
Yeah. They go back and get him, though. They say it's going to be impossible, and then they do it instantly. It's great.
Yeah. They go back and find him. He's fine. Don't worry.
Don Johnson did another one of his old Mariners maneuvers. Don Johnson likes to describe moves that he's going to do as like old sailor's tricks or old Mariners tricks. Don, they're related to steering a boat. I bet they're all Mariners tricks because they're how they're related to steering the boat. It is probably an old Mariner's trick. It would be wild if it's like, here's an old baker's trick. And then he spins the wheel as hard as he can.
The I will say
there is also a lot of precision steering with the background actors on the show. Yeah. There's a lot of people who are like look like they're piloting down the Autobahn.
Well, they look like they look like they're doing it in manual. Like they actually have to use their physical human strength
and like every
to control the entire cruise ship
and every like turn of the wheel is like
they're just like inching it slightly.
Just nosing on over.
The I will say the CPR that's performed on the guy who fell overboard, who's fine, he is fine, don't worry, is a better depiction of CPR than I'm used to seeing. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, he makes it, and that is not generally what happens with CPR, so that's kind of unrealistic. Mm-hmm. Sorry, bummer, but the way that Joshua Jackson is doing the chest compressions is pretty good.
Oh, wow.
I have to say, in the AMBU bag, it's a little fast on the squeezing, but generally, it's an okay CPR.
I can't believe that's so weird that Joshua Jackson is getting complimented on an episode of Sawbones. That's got to be the that's every one. Oh my gosh, confetti is shooting out of the lights. We complimented Joshua Jackson on every episode of Sawbones.
This is not fair because I also think Adam Scott is great,
okay.
and on Madam Web. He does some of the laziest CPR I have ever seen depicted. It is one-handed CPR that he's doing. Yes,
I'm glad your boyfriend does such great chest compressions. Moving on.
Okay. I won't go through episode by episode because I don't know that would be particularly interesting. And I also think you should watch the show. But they do, they continue to come up with creative ways to make people sick so that they don't all just have gastroenteritis, which is probably what the majority of cruise ship illnesses are. And each week is themed, which they tell you at the beginning, at the end of the very first episode, they're like, wait for next week, it's singles week. And he's like, wait, every week is themed?
And then they say that
audience.
Like Don Johnson talks about things happening in the context of the cruise ship season, but he just says season. So what you get is him talking about, like, there's a chef character that they add halfway through the season of TV. And he's like, and she has very graciously agreed to stay with us for the season. And it's like, of cruise ship, but like, really, you also, like, you want Don Johnson to look at you like, because it's a TV show.
There was also a dance off in the first episode, The second week is singles week. You've got, of course, as you already alluded to, Syphilis Sam. I think that's a fair depiction. Like the idea that there would be a guy on board spreading syphilis to everybody. Sure. Yeah. I bet that could happen on a singles cruise. And especially they make the point of him just very casually saying, I never use condoms.
He just kind of says it. Mm-hmm. And everyone's just sort of like, I'll be danged.
Okay.
Well, they'll be gone in a week, so we don't need to get too hung up about it.
They do have a lot of diuretic abuse mentioned on this episode. Again, I guess reasonable singles cruise. People may be doing unhealthy things to try to maintain some sort of body image that they've, you know, unrealistic body standard they've set for themselves. That's a fair thing. So I think that overall, not too bad in terms of those sorts of issues. You would have picked up on an electrolyte imbalance with basic labs, which they kind of skim over, but whatever. They do rescue a woman found at sea, like a refugee found at sea she had been in Venezuela and then was working on a fishing boat and then it caught fire and she was like left in a raft.
And then, I don't want to spoil the rest, but yeah, they do find, that's something that happens.
Uh-huh. Also, Don Johnson has a heart attack.
Yeah.
Sort of.
In the second episode, the captain of the ship.
But he's fine.
Yeah.
Plastic surgery week is maybe the most buck wild. No joke, a woman's nose falls off. No joke. Her nose falls off. It's her new nose, obviously.
It falls off.
And I will say that the fact that Max Bankman is not capable of reattaching it, okay. Yeah, like probably not on a cruise ship. Probably you can't reattach a nose. I do think it's odd that he's like, but we'll just like fit. He fits her with like a Phantom of the Opera style mask.
Really?
Yes.
And that's not, this is the one episode I haven't seen. So this is.
And then they just wait till they get back to shore to sew the nose back.
Of course. Yeah. But isn't time loss blood loss?
Yeah. I feel like you need to move faster on that.
Yeah. Let's act quickly.
I also am pretty sure that with a nose, like with rhinoplasty, I am fairly certain they don't just cut the whole nose off and sew a new one on.
But you're not sure, right?
No, I am certain they don't just cut your whole nose off and sew a new one on. Okay, I am certain that doesn't happen. And they very much depict in this episode as if she has had her nose cut off and then a new one sewn on.
Yeah, but that is not the case.
No. The episode that I enjoyed the most so far is the most recent, because the Halloween episode isn't out until later this week.
Yeah.
So the most recent episode is the Wellness Week episode, where you have Amy Sedaris as kind of, I would say, like a vague, it's not a Gwyneth Paltrow stand-in exactly, but like the idea of like a wellness empire, like a Goop-esque empire.
She's not of the power of a Gwyneth Paltrow. She's like someone who would be in her orbit, maybe.
Yeah, but like her name is Bethany Wells.
B. Wells. Amy Sedaris is B. Wells. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, she's great. Well, and I should have mentioned Gina Gershon in the Plastic Surgery Week episode is great, but... So it is the perfect thing for Sawbones because it is this mixture of wellness stuff that is fake, but also medical drama that is fake.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it. So there's a lady who's making her special smoothies.
Mm-hmm.
And she finally reveals that she's putting ingredients in them that can cause liver failure and kidney failure and, like, also, like, weight loss powders and stuff. So, like, it's all fake.
Yeah.
Like, of course, it just makes you feel full because you're in liver failure and then you stop eating so much and you lose weight. That's how it works. They also get into a lady who is doing acupuncture but clearly doesn't know what she's doing, and she punctures somebody's lung and drops a lung, and so Jeez. Then they have to put in a chest tube.
Yeah.
Which I feel like they probably could do on a cruise ship, actually.
Yeah.
Probably they don't want to, but if somebody can't breathe, I bet you could do a decompression. That feels fair.
It's really weird. You keep expecting someone from the cruise ship company to show up and just be like, hey, Don, what's going on, pal? This cruise ship is a nightmare. All right, and like even Pacey, I think at some point should be like, I really thought I would just be sitting poolside so much more than I am. It is like such a lot of work.
And it escalates. The big part of this episode that's very exciting is that Philippa Sue's character, Avery, develops an appendicitis.
Yeah.
And they're also at the same time we realize her character has an appendicitis and her appendix is about to rupture and they have to remove it immediately. They cannot wait until they get to shore. They're not going to give her IV antibiotics and try to wait until they're in an actual operating room. They've got to cut it out now.
Now.
At the same time, Don Johnson lets us know that we're in the eye of a hurricane. And so...
And how did this happen? Well, friends, his first mate was high on shrooms.
Accidentally. Because the wellness lady put psilocybin in the saltwater taffy that she gave as a free gift to the crew. So they're navigating through a hurricane
like 20 minutes later.
While Max and Tristan are operating on Avery. Listen, I won't get into the particulars, but that is not how you do an appendectomy, folks. I will just say we don't generally just sort of flop viscera out onto the out onto the skin and kind of cut around.
You also don't normally do it during a hurricane.
Jam it back in a tiny incision. I mean, anyway, but they're doing it during a hurricane, and so there is a moment where Joshua Jackson is on the wall, like he has, like the ship is tilted so far that he's like parkouring on the wall.
He stunts off the wall. It's amazing. It's an amazing shot. It's great.
The surgical equipment is flying around the room. They're both like draped over her
trying
sterile
to keep things
field.
From falling because then it scrubs out. It's like, okay.
No, they are not sterile. They are scrubbed out. You cannot lay across the patient and still have a sterile field. Don't worry. Everybody's fine. That's the thing about Dr. Odyssey. Everybody's fine.
So far.
Next week is Halloween week. I cannot wait to see what happens. I think this show is hilarious. The medicine is not realistic. They get some things right here and there. But no, it doesn't want to be. And I have heard some fan theories. I've heard some fan theories because all of this, by the way.
Fan theory? There can't be theories. He's just a guy on a cruise ship.
I've already read theories.
Okay.
That all of this is in the setting. Why has Max Bankman, who has all of these accolades and has this very, like, this career that has been very esteemed, why did he do this? Why does he say he did this?
You didn't talk about that.
The reason Max Bankman decided to become a cruise ship doctor.
I can't believe you saved this for the end of the episode.
Is because on March 2nd, 2020, when he was an attending in New Haven, he developed a cough and the cough got worse. And yes, indeed, he was patient zero
of Connecticut.
He almost died of COVID-19.
Connecticut.
Yes, in Connecticut. He's on the news. He's patient zero. Nobody will touch him. He's in isolation. They're all terrified. I mean, it's early pandemic, right? And he barely qualifies because he got one CT scan. And there were, I will
and
say.
And he prayed to get the CT scan.
So he got one. And in order to get remdesivir, which at the time had not been approved, and so compassionate use only, meaning like in very special circumstances, we can give remdesivir. In order to qualify for it, you had to get that second CT scan that would show the appropriate amount of disease progression. That may well be true. There were very tight regulations early. I was in the hospital at the time. Very tight regulations on who could get compassionate use remdesivir. So this may all be sort of based on truth. Somehow he manages to get he prays for the second CT. He gets the second CT. He qualifies for remdesivir. He gets it. He lives. And he realizes this brush with death, he's got to find a better work-life balance. He needs to enjoy his life more, not take anything for granted. He goes on the cruise ship.
It's the hardest thing he's ever done in his entire life. Every week, the ship is trying to fall apart.
So it's set in. Can I wonder, though, how many more shows and movies and things we're going to see in the future.
That are set in the.
Well, in the post-COVID, like COVID gave me this.
I had to just go take a, yeah, it's like using it as a narrative device.
Yeah, it was interesting to see that.
And it's weird he didn't just have regular COVID. He had to have important COVID, right? It had
he
to
was
be
patient
like
zero.
Patient zero of Connecticut.
Of Connecticut. But it is interesting that then he is on a cruise ship that is called Heaven several times. And he is called a guardian angel several times.
You think they're no, Sydney,
and
no.
I'm just no. I'm asking the question: did he survive COVID? I'm asking the question.
I'm answering it. He definitely.
And what I'm also going to point out is that Grey's Anatomy, I'm pretty sure, did this. I stopped watching Grey's Anatomy a long time ago, but I'm pretty sure Meredith Grey spent an entire season in a COVID-induced coma.
Okay.
That she barely survived.
Then
so
they're definitely not doing it.
I feel like they've already done this on another medical drama.
Hey, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with your regularly scheduled medical content, I'm sure. Oh, no, we've got a creep. I know what you're doing next week. So
yeah.
Good. Make sure you join us for that. Thanks to the taxpayers for using their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. And thanks to you for listening. We hope you have enjoyed yourself. Catch Dr. Odyssey somewhere. I don't know. You figure it out. They're not giving us any money. That's going to do
it. But you will enjoy it.
Until next week. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
As always, don't drill a hole in your head.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported directly by you.